Open your Bibles to John chapter 21.
Light it up now, bro.
I hope you guys are loosened up.
Bring the heat, bro.
Are you feeling hot?
Come on. I'm hot, bro.
See, Anthony's saying bring the heat, but I'm thinking you're thinking no more heat. It's hot enough in the room, but amen, amen. We'll bring the spiritual heat.
Come on, bro.
We're going to look at a couple of ideas today, a couple of analogies that Jesus used to try to teach us about why we need to go and evangelize the world.
Oh, okay.
And the first one's right here in John chapter 21. It's called the miraculous catch. Amen. John 21 verse 1.
All right, bro. Come on. Preach it.
Come on.
Afterward, Jesus appeared again to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Now, just so you know, that's the Sea of Galilee. It's called several different things in the Scriptures. Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias, Gennesaret Lake. But really, it's just all the Sea of Galilee. And if you know the geography of Israel at all, there's just two main bodies of water. One's up north, and that's the Sea of Galilee. And one's way down south, and that is the Dead Sea. Amen? So we're up here, and really there was a city called Tiberias right on the shore of the water, which is why those guys over there called it the Sea of Tiberias. Amen.
Come on.
It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught, well, nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they replied. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side." Of course, that's opposed to the wrong side of the boat. "And you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing their full net of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals right there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 152?
No.
157?
No.
Now we got an exact number right here. They had fish attendants. 153.
Amen.
See, you know this is an eyewitness account. And you know it's a fisherman's perspective, because a fisherman knows exactly how many fish he caught. You know what I'm talking about? 153. But even with so many, and here's a big point, part of the miracle, the net was not torn.
Come on,
that's part of the miracle. We're going to talk about that later. Amen.
All right, bro.
Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, gave to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. What an awesome story, huh?
Yeah.
And this miraculous catch of fish. Now, we already talked about where we were specifically here at the Sea of Galilee, but it's important to understand why. Why were they in Galilee? And if you've been around the Bible very long, or you've heard many sermons, you've probably heard, well, after Jesus died, the disciples, the apostles, were discouraged.
Yeah.
They were down.
Yep.
And what do we do when we're discouraged and down? We go back to what we know.
Yep.
So they went back to what they knew, which was Galilee, that's home, and fishing. Remember, they were fishermen before Jesus came and made them fishers of men. So here they are back fishing. Amen. I just want to help you out on that one. Amen. And so, you've heard that before, and I do believe they were discouraged. I mean, I would be. If I'd followed Jesus for 3 years, given up everything, I believe this is the Lord, and then He died on the cross. They crucified Him, and I think there's another reason to leave Jerusalem. The scrutiny and persecution of the mob that killed Jesus, now looking for them. Let's get out of town. You know? And so I think they were afraid. I mean, it's proven by Peter. Remember, Peter was the one who said, "Lord, I'll never deny You." And it's really awesome. You know, when they're in the boat there, and John realizes, because of the fish, this is Jesus. And Peter's eagerness. Aren't you guys blown away?
Yeah, that's awesome.
He jumps in the water. And they're 100 yards from shore. He's running like a football field through the water to get to the Lord. And you know, that matches the same zeal with which Peter at the Last Supper said, "I'll never deny You." You ever made a profession that later you didn't keep? Peter did too. He did. But you see, after making that profession and then denying Jesus 3 times, he could have disappeared forever. He could have killed himself like Judas did. That could have been thought. But he didn't. He's still here. And he's running after Jesus still. And there's a lesson. We get discouraged. We get down. But that's okay. We need to keep running after Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that's the real reason they were in Galilee. Remember in Mark chapter 16 when the women went early to the tomb to treat the body. They're walking to the tomb and they said, "When we get there, how are we ever going to roll that large stone away to put the spices on Christ's dead body?" But when they got there, what was going on? The stone was already rolled away. And you ever worry about problems that are never going to be problems? You're just worried about it. God had already taken care of it. Stone was rolled away. But of course, the body wasn't there, so the spices were for nil. Because Jesus rose from the dead. Instead, there was an angel there. And the angel said, "Are you looking for the Christ? He's risen." And he said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Read it closely. Now, does that mean Peter wasn't a disciple?
No.
Go tell the disciples and Peter specifically. Why? Why Peter specifically? He was the leader. Remember? He's the one Jesus gave the keys to. And even after blowing it, this was the 3rd time Jesus appeared to him, right? What's cool to know is the first couple of times he didn't say, "Hey, Peter, could you give me the keys back, bro? You know, you really blew it. I need those keys back. I'm going to give it to Thomas because he's doubting, but he's doing better, you know." No, he still had the keys and he was the leader. And it's proven he was the leader. Look what happened. There they are in Galilee. They've traveled back up to Galilee. Why? Because the angel said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." He's gone ahead of them into Galilee. And there you see him. So were they discouraged? I believe it. Were they scared from the persecution? I believe that too. Why were they in Galilee? Because that's where they were going to see Jesus. Amen?
That's right.
And so they're there and they're waiting for Christ. And so what are you going to do while you wait? Well, you need to eat something. Right? And so Peter, the leader, what does he say? "I'm going fishing." And the other guy said, "We'll go with you." And they headed off with them. Far too many times we sit around and talk about what we're going to do. And Peter, he just got up and said, "I'm going."
Amen.
We need to lead the way, guys, to Jesus, and people will follow.
Wow, that's true, bro.
Now, they're up in Galilee. There they're going to find Jesus. They go out. They're fishing all night. All night long. And you've read this before in the Gospels. And they haven't caught a thing. One more time. How do you think they're feeling that morning? You think any one of them still believed there was going to be any kind of mediocre catch? Much less miraculous catch that morning?
No.
No. They're like, we've been at her all night. It's about time to go in. I'm getting tired. This isn't the proper time for a miraculous catch. It should have come just when we first got out here and we're all fired up. It should have come then. Now, if you know much about fishing, you know that's not true. Patience and persistence. Isn't that what you were teaching me? Amen. So they're out there, that kind of thing. The next morning, they're probably cold. Right? Like we're not right now. Amen. They were cold. They were damp, and I'm getting a little damp. Amen. And they were discouraged.
Yep.
And then here's this guy on the shore. And what does he say? Oh, you love it, right? Who's that guy over there? Hey! Yeah? Haven't you any fish? And just the way the sentence is constructed, in a way that he already knows the answer is no. It's not, what'd you catch? Haven't you any? No. And then this whole thing, okay. You can talk to me about the way they were supposed to fish and how to do it, but come on. If the net was over here and Jesus told them to throw it over here. Now, I'm sorry. Are you feeling like this is a real constructive criticism?
Yeah.
Coming from shore?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah.
And you know, it could have ended right there. The story could have ended.
Yeah.
They went in, no miraculous catch. But they were humble. They listened to Jesus. And they're, all right, here we go. Whoa, 153 large fish. It's blow away. He runs on into the shore and he sees Christ and it's the Lord. And now we need to read on a little bit. So a little conversation that Jesus wanted to have with Peter. You know, first he got the fish bacon. It's always good when you're going to have a deep talk to get some good food on the griddle. You know what I'm talking about? Just kind of loosens everybody up, starts eating a little bit, you know. And then you just wait for that. Kind of like fishing, you wait for that. Boom! You pull the line in, right? This is what you're about to see the Lord do with Peter right here. Watch. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And he's talking about the fish. Do you truly love me more than these? And that's why everybody always makes the point. They went back to what they knew, fishing. And so Jesus here is challenging them, do you love me more than your profession of fishing? Right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It could have been that Peter was just enjoying that meal so much. Like, I've eaten with some brothers. You know, been fishing all night, hungry. Got that fish. I can just see Peter digging in. Oh, this is good fish. And Jesus watching him. He's like, it's good, isn't it, Peter? Yeah, that's awesome. Do you love me more than that fish? Because you're loving that fish right now. You know what I'm talking about? It looks good. Do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. Peter was hurt. You think Jesus intended on hurting him?
No.
I do. I think he did. Sometimes, you know, we got to have a good talk with each other. And we know it's going to hurt. But without that good talk, our eyes will not be opened to where we've been and where God wants to take us. Here they are. They're out here fishing. And Jesus says, I need to have a good talk with this guy because I did give him the keys. And there may have been a miraculous catch today. But I got to make sure that come Pentecost, Peter's going to get up and preach, and there's a miraculous catch, not a fish, not 153 fish, but 3,000 people that are going to get baptized. Now that's a miraculous catch right there. But see, there had to be humility here before God could use them. There had to be John 21 talk before Acts 2 glory and miracles. So he got in here. Do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. What's Jesus doing here? He's doing something we do in the church when we study the Bible with people about becoming Christians. We study through some basic studies with them, but then there's one very important study before they make that commitment to the Lord. It's called counting the cost.
Yep.
It's one thing to want to go be with God. It's one thing to want to walk with Christ. It's one thing to want to evangelize the world. And as we're all finding here, we got a room full of people that have moved from all over, sacrificing so much to get here. You got to count the cost before you do something like that. Because
yeah.
It's not going to just all be smooth sailing.
That's right.
And Jesus knew that. He had just been killed for what he believed.
Wow.
And now these guys are going to go out and preach the same message.
Wow. Come on.
So he's counting the cost with Peter.
Yep.
He's saying, look, I know you blew it. You denied me. You blew it big time, but that's okay. You're going to learn this lesson, and you're not going to blow it next time.
Come on.
And that needs to be our attitude.
Yep.
We're all going to blow it. We're all going to mess up, haven't we?
Yeah.
Haven't you messed up?
Yeah.
But the question is, when someone says, it's the Lord, are you ready to jump in that water and run through 100 yards of it to shore? That's what we call godly sorrow.
Yep.
2 Corinthians teaches us about the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. You know, when you blow it and you're really sorry about it, but you just sit in self-pity and you soak up in that, you know? No, that's not godly sorrow.
Right, right.
Godly sorrow is, you see how your sin has hurt you, others, and God.
Yep.
And the Bible says godly sorrow brings repentance. You change. That leads to salvation, and then you leave no regret. And it goes on to describe it there in Corinthians. What eagerness, what alarm, what indignation, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you've proven yourself innocent.
Yep.
Is that our attitude today about the areas we've blown it in?
Come on.
Or even the area you're blowing it in right now?
Come on. Wow.
Is that our attitude? Godly sorrow. You know, we had a leaders meeting this morning, and we talked about the church and what we need to do to make it awesome. And then, Teresa and I went out for a little lunch with Roger and Kama. And the food was good, you know, kind of like Peter. Good food. But the conversation was better.
Amen.
Conversation was better. And the conversation was focused on me and what I need to do to be a better husband.
Amen.
What do you mean, amen? You weren't there. We have a conversation with you about being a husband in a minute. Oh, amen. You got yours. See, in the church here, if you're our guest, we fully believe in these good conversations. Where we get in each other's lives and we talk to each other. And we count the cost with each other. And we don't need to rub the sin in. That's not what Jesus was doing by the third question. But we need to talk until we get it.
Yep. Yeah. Come on, bro.
Until we understand where we're at, until there's godly sorrow.
Wow.
And we're ready to roll. And look, Jesus had to say something intense. Peter was hurt because of this. Jesus said, feed my sheep all three times. Now I want you to hold your place here. And I want you to look with me in Ezekiel chapter 34.
Come on, bro. Great stuff.
Ezekiel 34.
Come on.
And then we'll come back. What did Jesus say? Do you truly love me? He doesn't say, do you truly love me, Peter? Okay, feed me lamb. No, if you love me, serve me. Feed me lamb. No, he said, if you love me, feed my lambs.
Yeah.
Feed my sheep.
That's awesome. Wow.
This was the mission
That
was being given to Peter and the others. Remember back when after Jesus died and they went back to Galilee and went fishing? They were so distracted. They hadn't been given the mission yet. Yes, they'd been going around teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, but it wasn't until Matthew 28, after this, where Jesus told them, go into all nations and make disciples of all nations.
Yep. Wow.
They hadn't been given that charge yet. And the kingdom hadn't even come yet, if you know your scriptures, Acts chapter 2. So now, before you can go out and do something awesome, you got to get clear direction and clear focus of what it is you need to go do. In Ezekiel 34, verse 11, this is awesome. This is what the sovereign Lord said. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. And we've all had those, amen?
Yep.
I will bring them out of the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel will there'll be grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself, God says, will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays, Dave Cadell.
Wow.
I will do it.
Come on.
I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Now go back to Peter. Go back to John 21. What's Jesus talking about? Do you truly love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. He's saying, remember what I called you? You were a fisherman. And I said, now you're going to fish for men?
Yep.
My goal.
Come on.
God says, I want to take care of my sheep. How's God going to do that? What's God's plan to feed His sheep?
Peter.
He wants to use Peter to do it.
Yep.
This is a blowaway conversation.
Yep.
This is intense. That's why He says it three times. You're going to be my vessel, Peter.
Wow.
You're going to be my ambassador.
Wow.
You're going to represent me.
Wow.
Who is it that wants to evangelize the world? It's God.
Yep.
Man.
Who is it that wants to pasture the sheep, take care of them, feed them? It's God. How's He going to do it? It's us.
That's right.
Wow.
And by us not fulfilling this mission, we make it so that God doesn't fulfill His mission.
Yep. Come on.
Wow, bro.
You say, oh, that's impossible. God will find another way, only if He can find another man or another woman.
Yep.
Wow.
And that's how He chose to do it. God chose to limit Himself to men and women who are willing. At the end of Matthew 23, Jesus has rebuked the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for being hypocrites. At the end, He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you like a hen gathers in her chicks, but you were unwilling.
That's
right.
Come on, man. Here you go. Jeff, we got a room full of willing men and women. Amen?
Yes.
And it's not Peter that needs to have godly sorrow. It's not Peter that needs to have that eagerness and alarm.
Come on.
It's Joe. And it's Anthony, and it's Pam, and it's me, and it's you.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
Amen.
Because God longs to pasture His people.
Yep.
Look at Matthew chapter 9.
Great stuff, bro.
Come on.
Come on, bro. Great stuff.
Matthew chapter 9. Simple message today of evangelism. A very unpopular topic in some churches.
Not this one.
It's why we're here.
Right.
Yeah.
But what does that word evangelism mean? It means caring for the sheep.
That's right.
It means pasturing the sheep. Taking care of God's lost sheep. In Matthew 9, 35, Jesus again uses another analogy. It's not fish this time. It's not sheep this time. He said, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. See, Jesus was fulfilling God's heart on earth.
Yep.
Yeah.
And He said, follow me.
Come on.
And He's not here anymore because He died for us and ascended to heaven, but He wants us to go teaching from village to town, healing people.
Come on now.
That's what he longs to do.
Yeah.
When he saw the crowds, and this will determine whether or not we are able to do it, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful. The fishing nets are full. The sheep are there to bring in the pen. But the workers are few."
Wow.
And I always have to say, the workers are you.
That's right.
And we're few.
Yeah, that's right.
There need to be many more workers. He says, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." So here, we're getting a different analogy of harvest. And we have some farmers in the room.
Come on.
What are you going to do to have a harvest? Just like fishing. If you want to go fishing, there's some things you have to do. Or you're never going to catch a fish. Right?
Right, right.
To harvest, there's some things you have to do. The crop's not just going to pop up.
That's right.
There's two things you got to do.
Plant.
You got to plant, you got to water. But I want to talk about these two. You got to sow, and you got to reap.
Yeah. Okay. Come on.
If you don't sow, you're not going to have a crop. Remember in the parable of the sower, the farmer went to sow the seed. Well, there it is. He went and sowed it. Point number one, there's no sowing without going.
Come on. Yeah,
okay.
All right, bro.
We're rhyming and flowing, and there's no sowing without going. Amen. Somebody give me a beat.
Come on.
No, I'm just kidding. There's no sowing without going. Guys, so many times in church, and have you done it? We sit around and talk about going.
Yeah.
And talk about sowing.
Oh.
Peter said, "I'm going fishing."
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. I like that.
And those that wanted to go said, "Hey, wait a minute.
That's right.
I'm going with you."
Yeah.
And what's been so awesome being on the mission field is we've been sharing our faith all over this city.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's so awesome. And we've been learning so many great lessons about how to feed the sheep that are out there.
Yep, yep.
And there's just no sowing unless you go.
Yeah.
We talk about, you know, here's how we ought to go and share our faith. And, you know, we have to make sure that while we do it, we're absolutely understanding the principles of the... What? Just go!
Yeah. All right. Come on, bro.
And
come
go!
On. Come on.
And you learn along the way. You know, there's a lot of scriptures. You can look at Galatians 6, 7 and 10, where it talks about, "Do not be deceived, the man reaps what he sows."
Mm.
Of course, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, 15 is talking about financially. You reap what you sow. That's a good scripture to read. Peter led. You learn from going. And, just like fishing, you learn from going with someone that knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fish. I'm not just going to head out and start. If I want to go fishing, I'm going to ask Chris, I'm going to ask Pat, I'm going to ask somebody that knows so they can show me the ropes. You with me here?
Yeah.
We need a partner. That's why Jesus, you know, in Mark 6, Jesus went from village to village. And then he called the 12 to him. In Luke 9, he sent the 12 out from village to village. And he sent them out two by two.
That's
Mark 6. By Luke 10, there were 72 others he appointed and sent out.
Yeah, right.
Where did the 72 come from? They came from Jesus and the 12 going from village to village.
Yeah.
They met the 72 and then they were willing and he appointed them and sent them out as well. You need a partner.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
So in the church here, in the mission team, we're really putting into practice this two-by-two principle.
There you go.
And this morning, in the men's leadership group, we sat, and it's cool when you're in a mission team, because when you have leaders meeting, it's the same as when you have church. Everybody's there.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a leader.
Yeah.
And we paired the men up, two by two by two by two.
Amen.
And we give them a few minutes, we went around, we talked about, what's your plan, partners? What's your plan, partners? What you going to do? Because when you're alone, what do you do? Too often you chicken out. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And there's no sowing without going.
That's right.
And the worst thing is going and then chickening out. But once you get that faith and you just do it, and you just reach out, man, it makes such a difference. We've got to have partners. We've got to work together. And you know, you learn a lot when you go out and you start sharing together.
Yeah.
I went out the other day with Patrick and Joel, and we went sharing our faith around University of Illinois, UIC right here.
Come on.
And, you know me, I'm just kind of straightforward guy. I got my invites and I walked straight up and I'm like, hey, how you doing? I want to invite you to church here. And we just moved into town, and that's a great way to start. Just moved here, loving your city, want to talk to you about this. And you see where the conversation goes. Now, we got a fellow right over here. Greg is staying with me, and Greg met this gentleman. What's your name?
Coy.
Coy? Met him the other day because he was riding a horse downtown and with a big flag and a donkey or a mule. And he rode right up to Greg. And you know Greg, he's a little guy. He was fired up the other night when Anthony preached that God doesn't look at the size of a man but the heart. And Greg was like, amen. So he rides up and Coy looks down at him and goes, you know the Lord's coming back, don't you? You know? And I was like, wow, what a way to just kind of pull people in. You know, that's his style right there. Me, I just go over and start up. Patrick Bouye Jr.
Oh, talk about this one.
And I'm glad he's not in the room. He's in the other room, but I already told him I was going to share this. I'm out with him the other day, and Patrick wants to be, like, in the moment. So he doesn't use invitations. He doesn't want to look like it's prepared. He wants it to look like it's just coming out. But it is prepared. But anyway, it's just, you know... So Pat goes up, and he goes up to these people and goes, hey, you guys know where Duncan YMCA is? And they're like, oh, Duncan YMCA, yeah. Yeah, we think, and he's like, oh, no, I know where it is. I just want to invite you. Because he's trying to engage conversation. And then they're like, to what? He's like, oh, me and some friends just kind of getting the word. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's like, oh, baby. So we got in an awesome conversation with those folks, and it was pretty fun, but... Hey, whatever works, that's right. You got to have a partner, you got to go for it. I got an email from Andrew Smelly. Andrew Patrick leads the Central New York Church Christ.
Yes.
And I just want to let you guys know the impact you're already having just from the inaugural service.
Come on, bro.
Andrew wrote, Chris, preach the word tomorrow. This was yesterday. I am and will always be praying for you. Today, for Campus TiVo, we continued our Faith Factor series, sharing our faith in groups. It was awesome. All in total, we met over 100 people in 1 hour. For campus students going out in Syracuse. Amen?
Yes.
He says, I met this one group of guys who were just fired up by our hearts to evangelize our city.
Wow.
So many people talk about it, but how many people do you get met by on the streets? It's like we go sit in church and talk about it.
Yeah.
But there's no sowing without going.
Preach that.
Each of the group... Now, here's where it gets really controversial.
Okay, bro.
Each of the groups that went to share their faith, Andrew says, had a leader who judged the quality, openness, persistence, and quantity of their evangelism.
That's awesome.
This is radical. We had a great discipling group together afterwards. I bet they did. Tell Joel that I read his letter to the group and they were challenged and inspired. See, Joel wrote up a little letter, inspired him and challenged him on some things he had seen, New Testament style.
Come on.
Amen? We can't wait to see all of you in August at the Jubilee. Give everyone there our love, Andrew and Patrick. This is incredible. But I know they wouldn't be doing that like they are if they hadn't been so inspired coming here and being with us as we went We had to go and sow.
That's right.
Wow.
Before that inaugural service. You know, and we really want to work hard on our connection, our unity with the church in Central New York.
Yep.
So in just 2 weeks, they've got Anthony a plane ticket. They're going to fly him down there to share at service. And then that night, to kick off our week youth camp with our teen ministry. So amen, bro. I know we're going to keep building that friendship with Central New York.
Come on.
Point number two. Last point. There's no reaping without weeping. There's no sowing without going. There's no reaping, guys, without weeping. We got to look at our city.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see the pain that people are in.
Yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
saw they were harassed and helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd. And that's where God's heart comes from. I want to pasture them. I want to pull them in. And that's got to be our heart
yeah.
when we share our faith.
Come on.
Yeah.
You want to weep? Tuesday night, Anthony led a Bible talk at the teen devotional. He said, let's talk about big decisions. What's one of the biggest decisions you ever made in your life? People talking about becoming Christians, big decision. Getting married, who you choose, big decision. Two of our teens, with awesome Christian parents here in the church, said, big decision in my life, choose to live with mom or dad. And that's a big decision in a kid's life.
No.
And it's happening more and more and more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to weep for these teens.
Yeah.
When mom and dad divorce, because they don't have a relationship with God, therefore they don't honor their covenant with one another. And the kid has to choose. I had to choose mom or dad. That's painful.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
You know, we're just moving in the city and I had to get a parking sticker for my car. If you live in the city of Chicago, you have to have a parking sticker or you can get in a lot of trouble. Yeah, I didn't know about that. Yeah. Chamber of Commerce dude over there. Anyway, you know, so I went to the Chicago City Hall website. That's where I had to go find it. And on there, on the left side were these big links. Chicago this, Chicago that, Chicago that. Third one down, top of the page. Chicago stripper. Teresa's sitting right there with me. I said, it can't be. Brought up all these written out links. No pictures, praise God. Hunks and babes. Topless. Girl-on-girl lesbian show. One click on the City of Chicago page. City Hall. Guys, we got to weep for our city.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, bro.
And these poor people that are caught up in doing those shows. Would you like that to be your daughter? We live in a sick world where we let our lust take us over. And it's okay to look at your daughter, but you better not look at my daughter. That's the sick world we live in. We got to weep for these people.
Come on.
God weeps, and that's why He says, I long to pasture them. I long to bring them in.
Yeah.
I want to keep them from that crazy, wild, disobedient life.
Come on, bro.
But there's no sowing without going.
Yeah.
And there's no reaping without weeping.
Yeah.
We've got to soften our hearts for people. Dave Cadell sent me an email the other night about a study. Dave's heart is soft right now, guys.
Amen.
You heard his heart 2 weeks ago as he shared his restoration.
Mm.
He's just so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's sharing that heart with so many people. Of course, Jessica's our sister.
Amen.
That's awesome. You have that soft heart that's soft. And you look at people, you don't just see Americans. You see lost sheep. You see lost souls. And you say, I got to do something about it. Dave sent me an email about a study and he said, P.S. Check this, you're going to be very encouraged by this. He said, P.S. I was just looking tonight at work, thinking tonight at work, hey, I'm going to heaven if I die right now. How awesome is that?
Amen.
I haven't had that thought in many years. On the contrary, I thought, I'm going to hell if I die right now. He says, I've been so elated over the past few months over my salvation from the hell in this life that I haven't even stopped to think. I've been saved from eternal damnation.
Yeah. Wow. Come on.
That's awesome.
Praise God, how great is that?
Yeah.
There's no reaping without weeping.
Yeah.
The other day we were talking at staff meeting. What are your dreams? What are your goals? What's your ambition? Kind of like Paul had spiritual ambition. Dave said, I simply want to be active in converting people, in loosing the bonds that Satan has on them. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to close by reading you one more letter that I received. It's on your bulletin, actually. Chris and Carrie Sue Adams, they lead our mission team planting. Within the last year, we sent them to lead a house church in the Mohawk Valley. Now, they both work full-time jobs. They're not paid by the ministry. But they sold their house, and you see their picture on the front, or there in the middle by the sold sign. And they took them and their two kids an hour east to start up a house church. Now, Renee, who's with us on the team for the summer, and actually she'll be going back in a couple weeks to spend her second year at school there. Her first year at school, Carrie Sue and Lauren, the only disciple that was there at the college, laid their life down and helped Renee become a Christian. And now, Renee's been here with us, and now she gets to lay her life down and go back and fight side by side with them her second last year there in the Mohawk Valley.
Yeah.
But she was the first baptism on that planting. If Chris Carey Sue hadn't moved, she wouldn't be our sister. You wouldn't know her.
That's right.
And she's got friends here today she met. Amen?
Yeah.
That's just awesome. Chris and Carey Sue wrote this letter. Chris is song leader. You can tell by this. Lo, what a glorious sight appears to our believing eyes. The earth and sea are passed away. The earth and sea are passed away. And the old rolling skies. How long, dear Savior? Oh, how long shall this bright hour delay? Fly swifter round, ye wheels of time. Fly swifter round and bring the welcome day. The church being brought together in the way God brought it together this past week in Chicago was glorious. And to those with believing eyes, He was doing a great work of love in an incredible city with millions of precious souls. We were so inspired to worship with all of you, even as you were just meeting your fellow mission team members, some of them seeing each other for the very first time. The love and vision that you are displaying and inspiring in others will be heard around the world and will, I believe, speed those swift wheels of time.
Yep.
The sooner all nations have a chance to respond to the cross and follow Jesus, the sooner we'll be caught up in that bright hour, the welcome day. I'm very proud of you and Teresa and all the men and women who are sacrificing of their love and gratitude to God for what He has done for each of us. Specifically, for the way you have chosen to listen to the anguish in your souls over people's need for salvation. Over and beyond the anguish in your souls about the hurt and lack of unity in our worldwide brotherhood at this hour. This convicts me and reminds me of how the humility of the cross, when Jesus made Himself nothing, will always be the only message of worth or power or impact on this hell-bent world. You've inspired Carrie Sue and I, that's all of you, to become nothing again, to pour ourselves out and believe in God's power that is made perfect in weakness, that He, in His timing, and not ours, brothers and sisters, can quickly raise up an army of heavenly bound soldiers who will rouse anyone with a heart to see and to love, to see the tired old soul renewed and the sinful soul forgiven and the fighting soul joined with others of similar heart. What a miracle. And to God be the glory.